to GLHF, the world's first podcast where we are babies.
Very first time.
Do you remember being a baby, Austin?
The earliest memory I have is when I was 4 years old, I'm pretty sure. I don't think I can go before that. And it was of playing Super Mario Brothers. This is not a joke. This is not a meme. It's playing Super Mario Brothers or seeing someone playing Super Mario Brothers in my basement television on one of those old TVs where the controls were like circle dials.
I mean, it's you. I would believe that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just clarifying that it's not a bit. That's actually what my history is.
What Nintendo system had circle dials?
Or the TV had circle dials. It was like one of those old-timey, like, clunk, 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 where it was like four things, and it was the NES. So it was that. Did you ever have those consoles where it was red, yellow, white? It was like that, like, needle that you would stick into the TV and screw it in? The antenna needle? Do you ever
have
one of those?
Absolutely not. You're much more ancient than I am.
Well, that, I just gave it away. Those little needles, you stabbed it into this little
hole. The red, yellow.
Yeah. There was, and it feels, when you did it, it felt like watching a documentary about how bugs mate. I'm not joking. If you look it up and if you experience it, that you'll be like, this feels like how this would work.
So it was just one signal that carried?
Yeah, it was. It was the same type of thing that a TV antenna. This is, I actually had to look this up because I was trying to figure out how I could play Call of Duty on a TV from the 40s, which turns out is going to be very complicated. But yeah, it was like, that's how inputs got started. It was like hijacking antenna plug. So there's even something before that, which is these two funny little metal prongs that you screwed in with a screwdriver. So like really early hookups hooked up that way. But
wow,
fascinating.
So you would
stuff
plug it in where the antenna was plugged in.
Yes, exactly. And so oftentimes it would have like a split so you could still plug the antenna in as well.
Yeah,
it's really interesting and funny.
That's cool. It always kind of blows my mind how early in history, like, radio and TV technology was invented. Like, it seems like a really kind of high-tech thing to have been around when it was.
Yeah, like, because radio was like, you could send a telegraph, but I think even primitive, like, radio or at least, like, some kind of voice recording was, like, 1800s they were doing that. Not long after pictures. I mean, we have pictures of the Civil War. Not very many. They're not very good. But, like, you know, you string enough pictures together and now you have a video. So it is pretty crazy.
My earliest memory, I'm trying to think. I'm probably not any better than you. It probably also has to do with video games.
Nice.
I remember playing on a little...
Last week when I played Genshin Impact. That's when it all started.
My life started this morning, I don't know what the hell is going on. I'm a little bit terrified. Say,
or sometimes...
No, I couldn't possibly tell you what my actual first memory is, but I was just thinking about how some people will say, like, they remember being a baby. They'll be like, I remember being in a crib. And
nope.
I'm like...
Cap, every time.
Really?
None of that is true.
Really?
Nobody... My dad says that, and I'm like, you are lying. Yeah. He was like, I remember standing up in the crib and recognizing my sense of self. And I'm like, shut up. That is not true. That is not what happens.
Wait,
that's
what
not
is that? What
I don't,
is that
that's not exactly
where they have
what
monkeys look in the mirror and see if they
exactly
conscious.
Yeah.
He was doing that.
Yeah,
like
he formulated that
old
test for himself when he was like 6 months old. But some people, they swear that they really do swear that.
I
that's
do remember it being a toddler, certainly. I have no idea what age, but like I remember being very small.
Yeah.
And short.
You remember being short?
Yeah, I think so.
I never remember being short until I go back to places that I went when I was short and it feels really small and I'm like, oh damn,
yeah.
I was
oh
really
God
short. You have that experience ever?
Like, yeah, I went back at some point and visited my elementary school as teenager.
Yeah.
And I was like, this place is so tiny. It used to be so big.
The auditorium at my elementary school, my sister was there recently for like a city council something. And she posted a picture of it. And I was like, was it always this small? The obvious answer is yes. They didn't shrink it. But it's very funny how your brain changes. Like, just your perception of stuff is so different. So, I don't actually remember feeling short at any point. And I don't even remember, because it must have been crazy to have everyone around you be twice as tall as you. That must have been a really weird experience. But I don't remember that really at all. I remember everyone being the same height kind of all the time, and that's how it feels now also.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess you just adjust as you grow.
Yeah.
I've heard that, like, forgetting everything from when you were a baby is, like, evolutionarily advantageous because being a baby is inherently traumatizing, and so you don't really want to remember that.
I've heard that, too. That feels like something that if you look it up, it was somebody's guess, but we haven't checked it yet.
Well, lots of things, yeah. I think of things are guesses, but that would make sense.
True.
To me.
I guess there's all knowledge is guesses at first.
Wait, okay. This is reminding me of something. When I was talking to my mom about the kid getting sucked into the Indiana Dune.
Oh yeah. And, I forgot.
And then
that.
She was like, "Have you heard of this? I forget the name. Some little girl that was stuck in a well when she was like a baby." Like a baby.
Uh-huh.
Fell into a well, was stuck down there for like too long. I don't know. Many hours.
Hours.
They got her out. She suffered like minor injuries. But she was like, it seemed like it would have been a very terrifying, like claustrophobic experience because she's like stuck in a tiny little crevice in rocks for like a long time before they could get her out. But she doesn't remember anything about it. And I was like, thank God that was before her memory was formed because I can't even imagine like, that being one of your first memories that's so terrifying.
It probably don't people say that like even the stuff you don't remember shapes who you are? Like that's why you're not supposed to show babies like, you know, whatever, like violent
probably
movies.
To some extent, yeah.
You know, because if you like scream at a baby every day and you never touch it, it surely that is bad. Right?
For sure, yeah.
You'd imagine that wouldn't work out well.
But regardless, I was just like, thank God she doesn't actually remember like the feeling of being down there, like what it looked like or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, trauma, anyway, man. Crazy.
I don't remember being a baby. I kind of doubt that I ever was a baby.
There's no proof.
I think I just came into the world fully,
like you
formed,
said this morning.
With all the aura in the world.
Yep.
You got. You have a very.
Can I guess your aura? Because in this game, you can select your aura. Can I guess which one you picked?
Sure.
All right. I think you kept it at the default. I think you went with plain.
You think I'm plain?
No. That's not what I said. I think you picked the plain aura.
I picked. I think it was incomprehensible.
I didn't even see that one. Whatever one I picked started with a P and was not a English word that I recognized. It was like polysilone,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, there's some new ones on there. Never before seen aura.
Yeah.
Mine is unseeable because it's incomprehensible. You can't even comprehend it.
I'm not comprehending anything right now, so it's working. I have a question. What is a minor injury? You know how when people say like there was a plane crash and it rolled over and everyone escaped with only minor injuries? What does that mean? Because I feel like my guess is that includes any injury that people like fully recover from within like 6 months is probably like
that's
legally.
But that
includes like snapping your arms in half and like then fixing it. And I feel like if you like severely break your bone and they fix it, you know, 6 months, you're fine, right? So
I was saying like, have you heard somebody say that's a minor injury?
No. I'm just wondering like where's the line? And you know, maybe I guess this is like you said, one of those things that we can obviously Google right this very second, but
I don't know if is there actually a definition or that's just something that newscasters say.
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to figure it out right now.
Official definition of a minor injury, but I guess I've always assumed that, yeah, it's like stuff that you'll fully recover from in like, you know, a relatively short time. It's not going to like impact you for the rest of your life, probably.
Okay. According to this.
It's not like a TBI or something.
Right. According to this, it actually primarily includes things, and this is just like various news outlet reporting, but it's any injury that doesn't require hospitalization and can be treated on site with like normal first aid. So a broken bone would not qualify. That's even less
stricter than
yeah.
I think.
In medical emergencies, such injuries, excuse me, are categorized as priority three in I guess it does make sense that it comes from like triaging systems where they're like trying to organize which patients need care first.
Yeah.
And it indicates that a patient is stable, so it's not getting worse, and that they can walk, and that you could delay the medical attention without any significant risk. Okay. And then it says that it's important to note that while we say minor, these injuries can still be very painful and can affect daily activities. So, yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Even less strict, like you said, than I initially thought. I just thought of that when you said that the baby had minor injuries. I was like, I wonder what that means.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I guess you would want to have some kind of standard among the like reporting community so that you're kind of all saying the same thing when you say that phrase.
Yeah. Well, and then you got to wonder, where are they getting that information? And I know like a lot of the time you can figure it out because it's like reported by the sheriff on scene or whatever. But
yeah, I think they're being a reporter, I've often thought, is like an extremely extroverted job because you just got to insert yourself and ask people things.
You like have to actually
like,
learn.
Get on the crime scene and like bother people.
Yeah, it is very, I think... There's like, this is a whole other conversation that I don't even actually want to have today because I want to hear about all the other topics we have. But figuring out what's happening and then telling people about it is like a really important thing to do. And I feel like we kind of take it for granted that like people tweet stuff that's happening and then you just, that's how, what you assume is happening. But it's actually way more complicated than that to like get good information, you know, which is, you know, similar to the, you know, you heard about all these escapees from the New Orleans prison. Just the like amount the amount of like stuff that people said they heard that they thought was true about what was happening is like, you know, it takes time to figure out what's actually going on. You can't just believe whatever it is. So, anyway,
should we
talk about
the prison break now, or do you want to hear my actual first topic?
I like your first topic. I don't have a ton to say about the prison break, so maybe I'll let it percolate. And then we'll bring it up later and see if I do later. Okay. So what's your first topic today?
Well, Austin, it's that time of the month. You know what I mean?
Yes, I can feel it. I can feel
it. It's that time of the month when this guy named Jason that has been using my phone number for 10 years to sign up for payday loans, all of his payday loans re-up, and I get a million texts about it.
Okay. I don't think I could have, if you'd have given me 1,000 straight hours to guess what you were going to say, I don't think I could have done it. That's really weird. Okay, tell me about that. Does that mean people are texting you being like, pay us back or we're going to break your knees?
Yeah, I mean, I could maybe post a screenshot of my messages app right now because all of the texts that I've received in the last like 24 hours are for Jason. And this has been going on since I got this phone number when I was like 14 years old. So it's over 10 years, Jason... probably had my number before at some point, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And then just kept using it to sign up for shit that he didn't want to get contacted about.
Okay.
So instead, I get contacted about it. Has been over a decade that this has happened. So I get, he gets a lot of payday loans. He's obviously very financially challenged. So he's getting a lot of loans. He's getting a lot of texts about these, like, work from home for $10K a month scams. Just truly all kinds of stuff trying to sell me auto insurance. And for some reason, today is the day, once in a while, once a month or so, there's a day where I get quite literally 50 different texts about from all different companies about stuff.
Huh. Okay, I've got questions. Is now a good time?
Yeah.
All right.
For sure.
Are all of these coming from the same number or are they all different numbers?
No, they're all completely different numbers and they're all like spoofed numbers. So you can't like track them to anything.
Are any of them... about loans that he's taken out, or are they all trying to get him to take out more loans?
Get him to take out more loans.
Okay, so we're not hearing from loan sharks necessarily. We're hearing from people going like, hey, Jason, we heard you wanted more money. Please do this and we'll give you money.
Well, I do also get calls from debt collectors, I think.
Interesting.
I don't pick up most of them.
Yeah, probably for the
best. But those are usually calls when they're trying to get the money.
That's crazy. You said this has been going on since you were 14? Or like whenever you got the number. And is it the same time of the month every month? Like toward like middle, end of the month-ish? Because I guess 15th is
probably
like your default paying off a loan date usually. So I'd imagine a lot of it's around that time.
Yeah.
And his name's Jason.
His name's Jason. I actually do know his last name, but I'm nicer than he is, so I'm not going to say it on the podcast.
Have you looked him up? Have you seen if he's dead or anything?
Wait,
how do you know you're nicer than he is?
because he's using somebody else's number to fucking sign up for all this shit. But
you say it could have been his number at one point. Well, but you're saying he's still doing it, I guess. So yeah.
Yeah, he must still be the sheer volume of calls and texts I get. He has to be actively still using it.
It's crazy that you can do that. And I guess how could you stop it? But it is weird.
I don't know.
Does it?
You know, most of the texts and calls are from robots. So I don't get a lot of opportunity to, like, question them about Jason or his whereabouts, which right. is what I really want to know.
Where?
But I got a call, like, a couple months ago from a real estate agent that was like, "Hi, Jason, I'm interested in your property on such and such address."
Whoa. That's good information.
So I got what seemed like maybe his address, if like he showed up as the owner or whatever. And I looked it up and, you know, he lives in my town or like close enough, within an hour, I think it was. And I had a moment where I thought about going and knocking on Jason's door, which I decided against because I think that's insane. But I did look him up on like one of those people search sites because I had his last name.
Yeah.
And I like remembered to write it down. But I looked him up and I found what's supposed to be his current phone number and I texted him a couple months ago. Just trying to be like short and to the point. I was like, "Hey, I've had this number for over 10 years and I'm constantly getting texts and calls from you. So if this
is you, believe you texted
I would just appreciate if you could stop doing that." And I didn't get a reply. I didn't really expect a reply, even if he had seen it, because you know, he's probably embarrassed or mad or doesn't want to talk to me, whatever. But I was hoping in the back of my heart that he at least saw it and listened to me, but it seems not, because here I am. The funniest thing that he's ever done to me is I went to Ulta, the makeup store, and I gave them my phone number and they said, "Are you Jason?"
No way.
And I said, "No." That's, so he signed
that is
up.
Very funny.
He signed up for an account at Ulta with this number.
That's really funny. I feel like I would have assumed that he had just like used a random number that he found. But the fact that he is like a human being who did a thing in like that then affected you in real life is really funny to me. And it's always different numbers that are texting you, so you can't just block them, I assume, right? Because it's all scammer numbers.
Right. No, it's just it's the kind of thing where it's an automated text that's sent by a random number that's going to be different every time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's
so
funny.
It's like my shadow. It's like it's funny that I kind of know a lot about his life just because he's using my number all the time.
Well, you know that he goes to Ulta and that he's probably bad with money.
Apparently.
And you know,
my only guess with the Ulta thing is that at some point he probably signed up for the Ulta credit card.
Yeah, true.
He's
the
probably
house...
one of these people that goes around to every business and signs up for the credit card.
Did the house sell? Because you can look that up, right? On like Redfin or whatever? Redfish? No, Redfin.
And then I was, I mean, this is maybe a little bit creepy of me to stalk him, but also I'm mad and he's been using my number for years, so
yeah,
whatever.
No, reasonable.
But, I couldn't really figure out specifically where he lived because like a bunch of addresses come up for him when you search for him. There's like 8 different addresses. I don't even know if the one that the realtor was calling about was one of them. So I have no idea where he actually lives. He could be spoofing all of that too.
Right. Isn't it crazy that there is a real man doing this?
I know.
It's
I want to meet him
somewhere.
That's why
real
I so
life.
Badly want to like I want to go knock on his door and see him. I want to see Jason.
But you can't because I assume this is in Indiana.
No, he's in Oregon because I got this number as a teenager when I lived here.
Oh, it was that long ago. Right, I guess that makes sense. Jesus Christ. Can you
and
please do that?
And recently
please?
Go find him.
Yeah, this is it's just like when you went to go find Rob Fisher.
I need to get a documentary crew and make a little documentary about me finding Jason.
Yeah, well, can we do that when I visit you? How about we do that? We go knock on Jason's door together. Because then you got backup, and then we can figure out what the hell's going on.
No, yeah, because I wouldn't want to do it alone as a woman.
Here's what I'll do. I'll show up, I'll wear a suit, and I'll offer him a credit card. And then we'll get to talking.
Right.
Then he'll sign up for it, we'll get his information. You
the
know, one thing leads to door another.
Door credit card
exactly.
Salesman.
And then I'll take him out to eat, and we'll kind of judge him up that way. And then we'll
boom,
and then we'll get him with the old... financial Chris Hansen, so to speak. You know, something interesting that's happened since I started becoming rich from YouTube is as soon as I started making like actual money, actually a big part, it's probably when I registered my LLC, I started getting scam texts, and they shifted from being like your normal sort of like, oh, we have an offer for you, whatever. All of my scam texts now, including the calls, are people asking me if I want a like $500,000 loan at low interest rates and like really, really high dollar business offers, which I thought was interesting. Cause I'm like, how did they figure out? Like, it must be they're tracking like, oh, he
do
bought
they
a new.
Do know how much money you have in your account?
It's certainly not that. Well, not certainly, I guess. But my assumption is they're like, oh, he, anytime somebody moves addresses, purchases a computer new from Apple, that's like a big sign. And like registers an LLC or whatever.
That small, though.
But there's got to be some data, I guess, that they're gathering or something because they figured it out.
You haven't made like a huge purchase recently, right?
No.
Like you haven't even bought a new car.
No. Yeah. Certainly nothing anywhere near that amount. But they figured it out somehow.
Yeah.
Because
I don't think they're tracking it based on you bought a new Apple computer.
Well,
Lots of people do that.
It's like that thing where like Target figured out that lady was pregnant before she knew she was pregnant because she like, it turned out she looked at these products for this many seconds and then the people she was geolocated next to were searching up these products. And it wasn't even like baby products. It was like, oh, she was looking up, she Googled nausea and then she looked at sunglasses and then something, and they put all this stuff together and they were like, then they sent her an email that said like, congratulations on your new child, here's some offers on cribs. And she was like, what the fuck are you talking about, new child? But they were right, just because of her strange habits they were able to put together these things. So that's my guess, is they sort of track all of this metadata and build this picture that goes, whenever someone does these 20 very specific weird things, that means that suddenly they're a successful YouTuber.
I would guess rather than your address or your purchase history, it's that maybe you're Googling like, what do I do now that I'm a rich person?
What do I do with all this money? And then they go,
is that
oh,
what
shoot.
You're doing?
And that's what I Google every single day. Yeah. It's because I don't know what to do with it. And it turns out if you hire editors, it actually all goes away. So that is one way to deal with that. I just thought it was interesting. Like the way that even when you become wealthy, the people, the scams change even, you know, like we think the divide between rich and poor is simply a matter of who can afford better cars. But in fact, you get better scams when you become wealthier.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So that's just how life works.
Be careful.
I know I've taken out loads of these loans. I mean, geez, the interest rates are crazy. So I had to. Got to pay off all these credit cards I signed up for when I was
poor.
Exactly. Yeah, I have a temporary increase in my earnings. And I put it on crypto, so it's all going to come back to me soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's really funny. I did not know that's what we were going to talk about today, is your insane scams with Jason.
Yeah, I just wanted to shout out Jason. I guess maybe I'm hoping that the universe cosmically will lead him to this podcast and he'll hear this message. The message being, hey, Jason.
Hey, Jason. Jason.
Stop.
Quit it. Jesus, dude.
Stop.
We've got Amish listeners, right? You saw that, or former Amish. So surely Jason is out there amongst the people. If you live in Oregon and you know a Jason, send him this podcast.
Oh my God, stop. It is actually really annoying. It's only become annoying again now because when I lived in Indiana for a few years, I would just ignore every call that came from Oregon because they were all for Jason. But now I live here and I have to
So you can't even like tell right away.
It could, you know, it could be my doctor or something.
Yeah, that is really annoying.
So yeah, shout out Jason, and also fuck you, and also stop.
Quit it. I have not watched any more of the rehearsal because I'm a monster and I don't watch television.
Okay.
So I can't talk to you about that.
That's fine.
I will say within the first two episodes.
I love that you brought it up. It's like a non-topic.
Because
this is not a topic.
I wanted to mention that I'm surprised that he did not mention, because, you know, at the beginning he goes, I watched one more episode, I should say, but I can't remember if I told you that or not by the last time we talked. But I wanted to use it as an excuse to really quickly mention my favorite crew resource mismanagement plane crash, which is, of course, what the show is about.
Oh, sure.
Everyone should look into this because it's incredibly funny. Everybody died, so it's not that funny. And it was completely preventable.
What was the outcome?
So this was in Russia. Might have been Soviet Union because it was in like the 80s or something, but whatever it was. And they're flying along, and it's these guys, and they're flying. It's a whole plane full of people, and the captain has his kid with him in the seat, or in like in the jump seat, because you used to be able to do that pre. What was that thing where the people with the planes into the buildings, whatever that was? Before that, you could do stuff like this. You could have like a kid hanging out with you in the cockpit.
Right.
And so he had his kid, and he looked at his kid, and he was like, "Do you want to try to fly the plane?" And the kid was like, "No." And he's like, "Come on, try it." And the kid's like, "All right." And then the kid did it and immediately crashed the plane to the ground to kill everybody.
What?
Like sent it into an upside down fucking spiral death into
what
the earth.
In the world?
And everybody died. It took slightly longer than I'm describing it. He gave the kid the controls and the kid just sent them into an unrecoverable.
So how
it wasn't even unrecoverable. They probably could have recovered from it, but they screwed up their recovery.
How many seconds would a lunatic have the wheel to do something unrecoverable?
To do something unrecoverable, if I gave you, it depends on the plane for sure. If you knew what you were doing, man, if you're at like 40,000 feet though, most stuff that you could get aerodynamically into, you can get out of. Not all of it. I would say if you were
That's
a skilled
what I'm thinking
pilot,
is like how long did they let this kid hold it for it to be like that much of a disaster?
Yes, and again, the real problem is that they didn't actually read the instruments and recover from the situation the kid put them in correctly. They could have, and they did not, right. Because they kind of were like he let the kid keep flying after the kid stalled the airplane because he was like trying to be like, "Oh no, you can fix this," and the kid just made it worse. There's a thing you can do where when you stall an airplane, which is like if you go so. I mean, this isn't
That's
exactly
crazy.
Right, but I'm going to simplify it.
He had a chance to fix it and still let the kid hold the controls.
Yes, it's an absolutely wild story. Everyone should look it up because it's really funny, and I feel like it's the type of thing
again,
that
I'm not laughing at everybody dying, but that is crazy.
If I feel like it's the type of thing that if Nathan Fielder had heard about it, we would have definitely gotten a recreation of a child flying the plane and how to fix that. but it doesn't seem like he has heard of it based on... whatever, but I just wanted a chance to tell that story because it's one of my favorite aviation disasters to just illustrate how, pilot error, man, just pilots doing stupid stuff.
I did also want to ask, this was a comment question, what originally made you interested in airplanes? Is this like a lifelong thing or like just when you started flying?
I wasn't even a plane nerd. Before like maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
I know that when I was a kid, I would always hear stories of, not to bring up my dad for a second time, but he would always talk about how when
shout
he was younger,
Austin's dad.
Shout out. He would always tell the story of like he was getting his pilot's license and then he got diabetes. And when back in the day, you can do it now, but back in the day, if you got diabetes, it was a rip, no pilot license for you. And so he never got to finish. And in my head as a kid, I remember thinking like getting a pilot's license is like something that only the 1% of the 1%, it's like the richest rich man thing. Cause my dad was like, it costed me $10,000. And I was like,
it
is super expensive. Yeah. But I was like, I am never, ever going to be able to obtain this level of wealth, $10,000. And so I kind of lived my whole life with that in the back of my head. So it was like vaguely interesting in that way.
That is still quite a lot of money to a lot of people, rich guy.
It is. No, it is a huge amount of money. And yeah, for me, it took even more than that. And I did it before I was rich. I got my pilot's license pre-YouTube fame. So it took a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of budgeting. I didn't actually start getting like super interested in planes until Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 came out. And I played it because it was like the whole world is in it, you know? So it's like cool to go look at your house.
Yeah.
But then I was like, wow, flipping all these switches in the right order is really fun. This is super cool. How does this work? And then I learned, oh, the airspace, how does that work? How do the planes take off? Where are you supposed to go? And I just learned all that stuff. And the more rules that I followed, like role play, the more fun I had. So I was like, maybe I'll go try it. And I didn't.
So you were able to learn Microsoft Flight Simulator purely for the love of the game, just because you wanted to play the game?
Yes, I really liked doing long navigational trips using, like, because they, it's, I can't even explain it in a way that won't make this the most boring podcast ever, but like the amount That's of fun. Stuff they have in terms of like navigational aids that are actually there and GPS routes that are actually there and function, they have a fully functional, the same GPS that I have in my plane in real life. They have a fully functional simulated recreation of it. All the buttons, it's the most niche piece of software ever, and it lives inside of Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Right.
So the more I dove into all that stuff, the more fascinating I thought it was. And it was like really satisfying to do these really long, like I would do these like 6 hour flights, navigating using the, all these funny pieces of technology I'd never heard of. Yeah. And I thought it was so fun. I mean,
that's very impressive to me because I have thought, oh, a flight simulator sounds like a fun idea before and tried it for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And
holy
like,
smokes.
This is like calculus. I can't do this.
It's an unbelievable commitment. But man, if you commit to that bit will commit to you. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, you've committed to this bit for like five years now.
I have committed
You're
to the bit for
it.
5 years and many thousands of dollars.
When you just said the GPS in my plane, I'm assuming you don't mean.
No, I do not own a plane. I have.
Because that would be why you're getting the crazy scams now, is if you bought a plane.
That's very correct. No, buying a plane is a horrible idea. I'm not saying I'm never going to do it. If, you know, things keep going the way they're going, you know, I could be buying two planes and 10, I could be Mr. Beast level, but planes are still far outside the budget.
I imagine that the use case for actually owning your own airplane is pretty narrow.
Yeah, it's a huge pain in the ass. It's insanely expensive. And unless you buy like a business jet, it doesn't actually like, it's not any really faster. Like if you buy a tiny little rinky-dink plane, it's not any faster than, you know, a jet. And like taking a public, what are they called? Like a commercial flight is way faster. So there's like some middle ground there, but in general, it's just a gigantic waste of money. Even if you're flying it yourself and that's super cool, it's pretty hard to justify.
I just saw a guy on TikTok flying a teeny tiny little open air single person airplane.
Yeah.
That he said was so small you don't even need any kind of like license to fly it.
Okay. Well, good for him.
He said you don't need a pilot's license. I guess I don't know if that's true.
I mean, if it's like a paramotor, like you ever see those videos of the people in their paramotors where it's like a giant fan strapped to a parachute and they just sit in a seat? It looks like something out of an anime.
This thing didn't have wings, but it was like, it was open air and it was like a seat with wings and a motor and a propeller.
I would be skeptical that you don't need any kind of license, but maybe it depends on where you're flying, I guess.
There were also like no instruments. It seemed like it'd be so scary because you don't have any, like what was in front of him was like the wheel to steer it and like a speedometer.
So like, he was flying like the Wright Brothers plane? Was it made out of wood and canvas?
That's what it reminded me of. I was like, this is what the Wright Brothers have.
And there might be something.
And he was just flying it around. He lives in the country and he was like flying it over to his friend's house, like 4 miles away.
You know, if you stay low enough, there might be some. It's kind of like with drones. Like even drones now, you have to get licensed by the FAA to fly them above certain, I think like 400 feet or something. Like you need a full on license.
That makes sense.
But maybe there's something where if it's like, oh, if you stay under 100 feet and you're in this type of space, then yeah, you can do whatever you want. But I don't know. Maybe you might send me that. I'll take a peek. Yeah, here's another. This is the last aviation fact for the episode. Did you know that if you are not trained to fly in clouds and you fly into clouds, the average time between when you fly into the clouds and when you're dead is 97 seconds? That, and it's like across the board, flying into clouds without being prepared.
You immediately plummet to the ground.
There's no way for you to know if you're not trained how to do it via the instruments. Your brain will start telling you that you're going upside down even when you're not, or going left when you're not, and you'll just suddenly point it towards the ground and you'll be done. See you later.
Anyway, back to these people that broke out of prison.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they broke out of prison. They caught, five of them so far? We're getting our text updates from the city. Another inmate has been captured.
I know. I think that's hilarious that you get text updates for just when they've been captured? Did you get an update saying, like, a bunch of people just escaped from prison?
We didn't. It was like the next day,
only when they 12
hours later,
news.
This was like 1 or 2 p.m., they finally said, you know, because I think they escaped at like 1 a.m. or something like that. At like 2 p.m. the next day, they were like, just so you know. And then they said that. And from now, it's just whatever. Because they have this whole city. I feel like most cities probably have this. But they have this whole citywide alert system set up, mostly for like hurricanes and stuff. But also they use it for like Mardi Gras parades and anything that like the whole city's dealing with. So it's not weird to get texts like that. But it is really funny how long they waited. And apparently, I don't know. I haven't read all the facts, but I'm pretty sure that most of the people haven't been convicted of anything yet. I know like some of them got convicted like 3 times, but keep appealing, and so like they're kind of like convicted, but not. But anyway,
yeah, I don't know anything about their crimes.
I just think it's crazy that one of these guys allegedly killed these 2 people of like this and whatever, and he escaped, and they didn't tell the family of the people who he murdered that this guy got out until like a day late. And I'm like, dude, if that was me,
I don't know, I guess they're embarrassed. So like
they probably should be, I guess.
For background for people, what I know is I just saw you know, like most things, I saw it on TikTok originally.
Of course.
But I saw the pictures of like how they escaped. They escaped behind a toilet. Like they pulled toilet off the wall.
Yeah.
And there was just a hole in the wall, and I guess somehow they were able to wriggle out of the building entirely.
Yes.
And then what I thought was crazy is they showed the CCTV footage of them running away from the building that supposedly happened in the middle of the night or whatever, like 1 a.m. or whenever they escaped. But nobody realized that they had escaped until they did the count in the morning at like 8 a.m., which means nobody's watching the security cameras at prison.
Or there is somebody watching and they were looking the other way.
And they were in on it.
Could be. I think that's the word, actually, is that I think the sheriff's department actually put out a thing that said, like, yeah, we're pretty certain who it was that allowed them to do that.
I think
like,
they were saying that they thought they had inside help because it wouldn't be possible to remove the toilet on their own without tools.
Yes. And I think they also updated and said, we're pretty sure we know who it was that helped them. And they put like 3 people on like suspension. But I don't know, you know, I think one of the guys that they put on suspension was like, dude, they threatened to kill me. And he gets paid like $12 an hour. So he was like, yeah, I'll be escape. I don't want to get stabbed next time I come in to check on you. It's reasonable. You know, it's definitely, I think, gotten a lot of people thinking about, like, because there's so many people who are saying, well, I don't get why all these people are staying in the city. This is, how stupid can you be? And I'm like, man, if you break out of prison.
They think the city should evacuate?
No. I'm saying that they're like, why are the escapees? Why did they all, you know, five of them that have been caught were caught in the city?
I know some guy was just caught in like the French Quarter, right?
Yep, he was. He went straight to the French Quarter, got a change of clothes, I think, and then got caught. I was trying to think through that. Like, yeah, how, like, let's say you are, I'm not saying any of these people are, I don't really know, but let's say you are a murderer, you killed someone. There's a good chance that, like, not everybody's, like, really trying to chill with you if you get out of prison, if you're a murderer. Not necessarily, but it could be. But I'm just thinking, yeah, how do you get out of the city? If you can't do anything that uses your name, nobody's willing to, even if they like you, you don't want to drive this person out of the city because then you're an accomplice, you know. It is not that easy to leave the city.
The movies tell me you just get on a Greyhound bus.
With a fake ID, I guess. But then
you have to say your name to a bus? I don't remember.
I don't know. You tell the driver, he goes, what's your name? You go, I'm Jason, you know, just get on.
Because I used to take buses all the time to New York City from
Philly.
You
buy a ticket, right?
I'm trying to remember if I would buy a ticket in advance, obviously, and like pay with my credit card. But you could also just get on it there. And I don't know if.
No, you can't.
You do
have to get a ticket, right? So you either need cash, but then it's like, can you Greyhound ticket cash? You know what I mean? And like no trail?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Because I'm pretty sure you could buy a ticket at the station if there was room and you could still go.
Yes, but could you do it in cash with no ID? It's a great question.
But that's what they always do in the movies. Criminals escape and they get on a Greyhound.
I guess
the movies are fact.
I just think it's... When I did the thought experiment, I found it surprisingly difficult to, like, think of an easy way to get, like, say, hundreds of miles away if you don't necessarily have help and you don't have any money and everybody knows what your face looks like and you don't want to get caught doing anything, right? It does seem tough.
It seems like maybe they were a little bit stupid.
Well,
which, you know, in any group of 10
people, right, in any group of 10 people, half of them are going to be dumb, at least. And they have only caught half of them. So, you know, maybe the other half's geniuses. In total, over the next 6 months, I think they're going to get two more. I think three of them are free until they potentially get picked up for some other crime. I think three of them are not going to get caught in this initial search. I think the other people will only get caught if they like get pulled over and check an ID, you know. Which, geez, what a way to live. Imagine if that's the rest of your life. You just can never, anytime any cop gets anywhere near you. And some people, you know, there's whatever. But like, geez.
It's no fun to be wanted.
It's no fun to be wanted. Bin Laden had to live in that little house playing Final Fantasy for, what, 15 years? Not a fun life. You got to be committed.
15 years straight of only Final Fantasy.
Fantasy 7 and I think the South Park episode that he was in, I think, is the two things that he had on that hard drive.
Did you have any other topics or should I Google the word news again?
You definitely should do that. And I expect you to do that. I did want to... I briefly mentioned last week the thing I thought how it's funny how like when things happen in China, they call them funny names and then like they're not funny. They're horrible. And so I did some research just to go over a couple of Chinese historical events, including their death toll, because I think it's funny how understated.
You think the death toll is funny?
I think that the Chinese bureaucratic understatement of historical events is incredibly funny. And here's why. Obviously, there are ones... There's this one called the An Lushan Rebellion. This is something that happened a while ago. An Lushan Rebellion. How many people do you think died? And obviously, we're burying the lead here a little bit. You could probably guess.
Yeah.
How many people do you think died in the An Lushan Rebellion? This was about, this is a long time ago. This is not modern China.
5 trillion.
5 trillion. You are close. It was 36 million. Two-thirds of China's population died in this rebellion. I don't fucking remember when. I didn't write the dates down. I just thought the names were funny. It was like probably 2,000 years ago. I don't know. But 36 million people. And I just think it's funny because in America, we have rebellions like Shay's Rebellion. And it's always like 100 people were injured and 2 people were shot to death. And it was a rebellion. And you're like, geez, China's on another level. So then we have the Taiping Heavenly Kingdom movement. Sounds pretty cool. 20 million dead. And then we have the Nian Disturbance. 2 million dead. And then you have the... This is what the Chinese government calls it, I think, currently. 3 years of natural disasters is what they call this event. Anywhere between 15 and 45 million people dead. That is what they refer to the Great Leap Forward. You know, they had that big famine because they tried to make the bugs eat the birds or whatever. And then like a gajillion people died.
Sure.
This is in like the 60s, I think. But yeah, like 30 million people died.
It sounds like a miracle that they have anybody left after all that.
Tons. You like more than anyone has. Yeah. It's unbelievable. The amount of people that they've got over there. I wonder if they... Like, if 20 people die in a problem in China versus 20 people die in a problem in America, it's hard to measure because there's so much, like, media bias and, like, what would they call it? Ethnocentrism. But I wonder if, like, in countries with way, 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 way more people, if they're like, 20. But in America, we're like, 20, you know, because we only have 300 million people or whatever. I just wonder if there's a comparison that the mind does. But I guess it just depends on the circumstances. I didn't even know there was that many people that could die in one event. just seems crazy to me.
Well, I'm trying to find something worth talking about in the news.
Not much? Not much going on this week?
As you know, I am the determiner of what is important in the news.
Yeah. But you're telling me you got nothing.
We have, I don't know how much you know about JoJo Siwa.
I know that she is considered cringe. That's what I know about JoJo Siwa.
Yeah, generally.
And I believe she's the first gay pop star. Is that what it is with her?
Yeah, nobody's doing it like her.
Right.
Nobody's ever been gay and a musician before her. But here's the thing, right? She released all these songs and like raunchy music videos where she's talking about how lesbian she is. And she
how lesbian is she?
Super lesbian, dude. The only one. She had a girlfriend, and then she went on Big Brother. I don't know if you saw anything about this, but she went on Big Brother, the reality show where you stay in a house with strangers, and developed kind of a relationship with this guy, Chris.
While she was
in the Big Brother house while she still had a girlfriend.
Pretty bold to do that on national television.
Yes, it's like the episodes come out like live as they're happening, it seems like, and she was like straight up cuddling with this guy in bed and stuff.
Huh.
And they're not allowed to have much contact with the outside world, so, you know, her girlfriend couldn't even really communicate with her during this time.
And was watching it?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I figured it was like all pre-filmed.
No, I think they come out as it happens. And
yo, that's crazy.
Anyway, so the news is from The Sun, from the UK, which is, as we all know, extremely reputable.
Yes.
That her and this man are now officially in a relationship. She's broken up with the previous one.
It says here that she has changed her pronouns to all of them. I wanted to make sure because I thought I heard she was non-binary, which
JoJo
I think she
has?
Does. But then she said, quote, my pronouns are anything you feel on that day, whatever I look like, you can call me. So it has to be what she looks like on any given day, according to her. And this is not me making fun of pronouns, by the way. I just think JoJo Siwa was really funny in the way that she talks about this stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess there's been some pictures of them released kissing in a pool. So, you know what? What else is going on? There's nothing going on.
Listen,
out.
If you want me to, so I think I spoke on the podcast about how like my telephone doesn't work anymore because all of my apps are locked as though I'm a child. So the only app that works on my phone when I'm looking to scroll is Wikipedia. So I go on Wikipedia and I do random articles over and over again. So I can tell you about some of the stuff I've been reading about if you want, but it's not necessarily happy. That's the problem. A lot of it, it turns out there's a lot of bad news out there. And it's not great.
Guy who gets the news from Wikipedia is such a character idea.
I did learn that.
I guess that's you.
That's me right now. I did learn that there is a lot of villages in India that have Wikipedia pages that don't say anything other than this is a village in India. It's just like one out of every 20 random articles is a village in India, which I think is really funny and interesting.
Wait, actually, is that a statistic?
I don't know. I just mean out of every 20 random articles I hit, I'm constantly seeing stuff come out of India, which India's got a ton of people, so it makes sense. But
on
I just
your
thought that was interesting.
On your Wikipedia For You page, it's full of Indian villages.
Yeah, they gotta have that. I'm sick of having it to be literally random. It's because it'll just be like random species.
So you actually hit like
whatever.
The randomize button or whatever?
Yeah, and I just keep hitting until I see something interesting. So I basically am doom scrolling, but it's like, here's
doom
the name of a
Wikipedia.
House. I've also actually, I found several albums to listen to. There's a lot of albums out there. And then just a lot of like houses that have names and stuff like that, so...
Wikipedia, you find an album and then you go listen to it?
Yeah, because it'll
that's
just be like,
so
here's
funny.
An album
what
by this band, and
music?
I'll be like, you know what, let's give it a shot. And I haven't found anything that's like truly very good. I did find
this
crazy...
might be like a really goaded way to live, though. Like, you're going to learn so many random things. Maybe
I could tell you, listen, you want to hear about medieval torture?
It's
so much better off than we used to be back then. Holy cow. Unbelievable. Or I was reading about, here's a really interesting one, is children's street culture, you know, like kids who end up living kind of like their parents are like, go outside all day, all the time. And they develop these like cultures and games and languages between them and like other 6 to 10 year olds or whatever in like the 20s and 30s and 40s on the streets of New York. Pretty fascinating. A lot of interesting like, stuff going on there. Kind of, yeah. Like they have their whole little, their hierarchies and their games that they play and their words that they come up with. Pretty cool stuff.
Do you remember any words?
The words, no. I read a lot about the games, like old games that used to be played on street corners in New York using like bottle caps and chalk and stuff like that. And how if you look around like certain cities, you can actually find like old evidence of these games that used to be played that were like etched into sidewalks in certain places, even though they're not played anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty, pretty cool.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, that random Wikipedia thing. It's, I would say,
I think that's awesome.
It takes about 50 articles before you find something that like you actually want to read about.
I think you're going to become the most well-rounded person in the world because you're letting actual like random chance determine what you read about.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about that. Like algorithm
know,
is literally
like, an equal amount of everything.
Other than, yeah, my only bias will be Wikipedia. Like what things tend to be written about on English Wikipedia. I guess that's where like the bias lives. But yeah, listen.
And it is so interesting how much stuff, like, I guess it's obvious, but I've realized how much actual difference there is between the different languages on Wikipedia. Because sometimes I'll go on and read something about something in Japan that's on Japanese Wikipedia, but it's not on English Wikipedia.
Huh.
And it just makes me think about, or like sometimes, you know, on like a Japanese celebrity or something, obviously the Japanese article will be way, way longer and have way more details.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you know, English Wikipedia, I guess it's obvious, but it is biased towards like information that's more relevant to English speaking people. And you're
right.
Actually missing out on a lot of stuff that exists on the other languages' Wikipedias.
Which I guess is self-selecting because it's edited by people who are in that. It can only, like, it's not like a Japanese-speaking person who only speaks Japanese could edit a Wikipedia article in English for, you know what
right.
I mean? Like, it has to work that way. I am a little surprised they haven't auto-translated or found some, it would be very imperfect, but found some way of, like, synthesizing this information in a way that it could, like, kind of mash it all together. But that it does sound like a big mess.
I guess before I started looking at the other languages pages, I kind of assumed for some reason that they would just be translated versions of the same information, but that's not true. It's completely made by the community that speaks that language.
Which is good.
And thinking about it, it would probably be, I mean, it would be impossible to make Wikipedia like consistent across all languages. Because of the nature of it.
You could do it automatically, but yeah, you would just lose so much in the process. Like even with like the best version of ChatGPT you could find right now, I think there would just be a lot of stuff that would get like mushed and like lost. And also and you probably know this a lot from learning Japanese, but you hear about this when people talk about like translating animes or video games, is like there's so much just culturally that doesn't make the right kind of sense if you just translate it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it probably does. Is just, wait, is there a Japanese Jimmy Wales?
What is that?
Jimmy Wales? He's the founder
Jimmy
of Wikipedia.
Wales?
Jimmy Wales. He's that guy who his face pops up when they need money.
Oh, sorry. I closed those so fast.
Have you ever given money to Wikipedia?
No, have you?
Ma'am, you have to. It's like one of the most, it's got to be the best thing on the internet. I've been giving money to Wikipedia forever. Don't pull the receipts. I haven't done it in a couple of years.
I've donated to plenty of stuff.
All right. Not to Wikipedia, though. I'm going to donate for the both of us this year, okay? We got to keep that thing going. It's like one of the only open source things that's still running. It's the only true human
expression. Yeah, I mean, I love and support Wikipedia.
I'm not actually shaming you for it. I just want to make that clear. I don't care if you do or don't.
You do shame me for not tipping on a pickup counter, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a conversation for another day. I might. There's a context in which I would and a context in which I wouldn't. But I'm the guy, I'm tipping. I get all these notifications from my Capital One card now where they, like, anytime I go out to eat it, and this is not, I'm just saying it because I think it's funny. I'm not trying to, you know, be like, oh, look at me. But it always is like, did you mean to leave a gigantic tip at this restaurant, or are they scamming you? We think somebody stole money from you. Because if I go and I, like, get a drink at a bar and it's like $10, sometimes I'll tip like $5 if I had a really good conversation, right? I feel like it's reasonable. And then so Capital One would be like, did you mean to leave a 66% tip at this place or at this place or at this place? And I'm like, yeah, I did. You can stop trying to make me think I'm scammed.
You're
anyway.
So generous. Donating to Wikipedia, leaving big tips.
Hey, you want to know about a truncated isosidodecahedron? That's what I have on my Wikipedia right now.
Oh.
In geometry, a truncated isosidodecahedron rhombo-truncated isodido something something is an Archimedean solid, one of 13 convex isogonal non-prismatic solids constructed by two or more types of regular polygon faces. There you go. That's the type of shit that's in my brain.
Wait, how many sides is that?
I didn't understand any of the words I just said out loud, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. I would have to copy and paste this article into ChatGPT and say, how many sides does this have? If I wanted to make... Oh, but actually, it says right here. It has 62 faces.
Okay.
30 squares, 20 rectangular, regular hexagons.
Can you see a picture of what it looks like?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. It's right here. It's crazy. It's really cool.
Okay. Text me the link so I can put it on the screen so people can see what...
You're trying to see this articulated dodecadisodidohydron?
Yeah. Is it a 2D shape or 3D?
Oh, it's three-dimensional, baby. It's huge. It's crazy. You're not even going to understand what you're looking at. And then
this
also there's all
is
the...
huge.
It's gigantic. There's all of these other shapes that have been named. Like, why would you need to name this shape? Are you looking at the picture? I just texted it to you.
But I'm pretty sure that name just describes... I think it's like there's parts of that name that go together to describe how many sides it has and what it is.
Right, but
I don't think it's like they put a specific
name. It's got like a huge Wikipedia article.
Yeah. So it's a 3D shape with a bunch of like... A decahedron means 10 sides. So there's decahedrons and squares and... what is that? Hexagons put together on kind of like a soccer ball type of shape is what this is.
So I just, what's the significance of it? I guess I have to read the article. Like, why does this specifically get a Wikipedia article versus...
Let me tell you, geometry mathematicians, they go crazy for this stuff. They love it.
They do
love
that
shapes.
Stuff. Yeah, they're always going on podcasts talking about it.
And I still don't quite understand the practical significance of it, because there are people that study shapes literally for their whole life, and they like just write theorems about how shapes fit together, or like what are the properties of this shape. And I'm sure that there is a point,
right? Like some kind of practical use.
It does really seem like they just really like shapes, and if that's true and they can make a living on that, then more power to them. Honestly.
And isn't that at the core of so much of our knowledge? Is just like, I just really like rockets. And then because that person, like, it's not about the point, you know, they just love math. They just love shapes. I just love molecules. And it's through that obsession that then we learn so much. So, you know, more power to them.
I support geometrists.
I do too. I want to meet one. We got any geometrists in the comments? Any Amish geometrists? That's what I want to hear.
Also, Jason. Jason, are you listening?
Yeah, he's still
here.
Stop.
Stop. I am getting increasingly mad as the years go on at Jason. And you might ask, why don't I just change my number? But then I'm just dumping it on someone else.
Why don't
Maybe
you just keep the number and buy a new one?
Maybe I shoulder the responsibility of Jason's spam text.
Yeah, you should get one of those truncated dodecadisodrons and put your phone in it with the Jason text and then get a new number, but keep the old one in safekeeping in a closet somewhere so it just receives all of these texts and then it will gain some kind of power.
I think that would be the right thing to do.
Save everyone else from it. So that's all for the news, huh? That's all we got going on?
I think that's pretty much it.